We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning, from the Gospel according to Luke, a portion of chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. We'll read the first 20 verses of this familiar narrative. Our text this morning is found in verses 15 through 18 and verse 20. We hear the word of God in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. Let us pray. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the precious treasure of Thy word. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst bless by Thy Spirit the proclamation of this glad gospel to Thy praise and glory and to our edification. We ask it with the remission of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, our text this morning is found in this beautiful narrative of Luke 2, verses 15 through 18 and 20, 15 through 18 and 20, where we read, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's perhaps difficult to think of any other passage of Scripture on Christmas Day than this same old, wonderful, familiar narrative that we find in chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke. Oh, there are many, many passages of Scripture that speak to us of the same good tidings of great joy that our Savior is born. Many of the prophecies of the Old Testament look forward to this blessed event. Many texts in the epistles speak of this mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And of course, the other gospel narratives give considerable attention to this central event of all history. In Matthew, the gospel is particularly concerned with the Genesis, the beginnings of Jesus that is called the Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the Messiah. There he is presented as the fulfillment of the prophecy that a virgin should be with child and should bear a son, and that his name should be called Emmanuel. In Mark, the gospel presents at once the picture of him as the mighty king, marvelous in power as the very Son of God. On the wings of the profound revelation of the gospel according to John, we see the heights of eternity, the beginning when the Word was with God and was God. But from the perspective of the inspired narrative of Luke, the gospel brings the Lord Jesus so very, very close to us, the Son of Man, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. The narrative of his birth centers around the simple words of chapter 2, verse 7, words that are marvelous in their simplicity, yet at the same time amazing in their inexhaustible depth. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the simple, familiar story that even you young children know. And yet, it never grows old, whether you're 8 or 80. By God's grace, each Christmas season it takes on just a bit more meaning for us, especially as we draw closer and closer to the end. We are the more and more thrilled by Bethlehem's joy. What is it that transpires in Bethlehem according to God's decree in order to bring to pass God's promise under His sovereign direction? There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so the Israelite Joseph and his espoused wife Mary and traveled to Bethlehem. There was no room for them there in the inn. So the weary couple find shelter in a little stable at the edge of town. And evidently that very night, the Virgin Mary gives birth to her firstborn son. Nearby in the fields of Ephratah, there's a group of shepherds who receive the announcement of the Savior's birth. Lo, the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the night is pierced by the glory of the Lord shining upon them. The angel calms their fears, bringing good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, God's people of every nation, tongue, and tribe. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, the whole host of heaven, thousands upon thousands of angels appear, giving praise and glory to the Most High God. This Christmas day, in this year of the Lord, 2020, we focus our attention especially upon the reaction of the shepherds to this gospel. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found it just as the angel had said. They found Joseph and Mary and the babe in the manger. They worshipped. And they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Beloved, this morning, let us too go and see. Let us retrace the steps of the shepherds, as it were, to Bethlehem. And by God's grace, may we return thither to our places in life, full of salvation's joy, glorifying and praising our God. It's in this light that we consider our text this Christmas morning under the theme, Let Us Go Unto Bethlehem. We consider, first of all, the reason, secondly, the revelation, and finally, the response. Somewhere in the hill country of Judea, in fields near the little town of Bethlehem, a small group of shepherds were gathered in the night. They were encamped there in the fields. Perhaps they were abiding in the very fields in which David had cared for his father's sheep many, many years before. There in the fields, in the darkness of the night, these shepherds guarded their sheep, keeping watch over their flock, busy protecting the flock against all the perils and dangers of the darkness. These men, obviously, were not the political leaders of the day. They were not kings or rulers or nobles. Neither were these men the religious leaders of that time. They were not the rich, proud Pharisees or Sadducees. As shepherds, these men were virtually at the bottom of the social order, lowly, often despised. They were simple, humble folk. But these shepherds were God-fearing. They were believing shepherds. They were children of God. They had been selected by God to be the first to hear the tidings of great joy. For these shepherds represented that small remnant that waited for the fulfillment of the promise of God. That promise had been proclaimed and revealed in ever-increasing clarity and fullness throughout the old dispensation. Already in paradise, God had given that promise to our first parents. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. God gave that promise unto Abraham, to the other patriarchs, as we have it in Genesis 22, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God proclaimed that promise through the priests and represented it by the sacrifices and the other ceremonies of the law. These shepherds were of that small remnant that longed for the promised Messiah, the consolation of Israel, They believe the prophecy of Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. They clung by faith to the prophecy of Micah in chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. These shepherds were part of that very small remnant that included Simeon, Anna, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, and more. These shepherds represented, therefore, the church. They were representatives of the body of Christ. They were of the spiritual seed of Abraham. They were part of that living spiritual organism of which Christ is the head. They were elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before Him. But understand, they represented the low estate of the true church of God in the midst of this world. In these shepherds, we see that God hath not chosen many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In these shepherds, we see that the Lord has hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Yes, as God's people, we must see ourselves in these lowly shepherds. We are part of the body of Christ by grace alone. We too cling by faith unto the Word of God and lay hold upon His promises. God comes unto all His children with these tidings of great joy. We see that suddenly the darkness and the solitude of this lonely night in which these shepherds watched their flock were disturbed. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. This angel is sent by the Most High God unto these shepherds to proclaim the joyous announcement of the Savior's birth. The angel comes to glorify God by revealing the tidings of great joy concerning the Christ. This angel brought with him the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. The darkness of the night was dispelled. The angel appeared in all the brightness and splendor of heavenly glory. The shepherds could have no doubt that what they saw was a messenger from Jehovah God, and they were sore afraid. The shepherds, after all, were mere earthly creatures, mere men. Yet they were given to behold a reflection of the glory of the heavens. The sudden appearance of the angel and the unspeakable glory of the Lord gave them a feeling of terrible fear, dread. It was the fear of sinful man who is suddenly brought into the presence of the living God. The glory of God causes a consciousness of sin, shame. You stand in that light. You behold your sin and misery as never before. You realize how empty you are, how unworthy, how deserving of condemnation. To still that awful fear, the first word of the angel is, "Fear not, fear not." That's the first word of the good tidings of great joy. The angel brings the gospel unto the shepherds, news of the fulfillment of the holy gospel. All the promises, all the types and shadows, all the laws and ceremonies of the old dispensation pointed ahead to this day, the coming of Christ. In the fullness of time, the holy gospel is fulfilled in the coming of Emmanuel, God's Son, our Lord and Savior. Good tidings of great joy indeed, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the angel gives the shepherd a sign confirming this joyous announcement, for ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The response of the shepherds is, without hesitation, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Notice that we may see the thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. What a revelation. The thing spoken by the angel. Often words fail us when we try to express matters that are deeply spiritual and heavenly. And we generalize, we speak of the thing, which can mean almost anything. Yet, to us, it may refer to something most wonderful. They don't say that we may see the newborn baby. No, that we may see the thing. The thing that the shepherds referred to was the unspeakable wonder that had been revealed to them, still too wonderful for them to understand. A wonder is God's hand of mercy reaching down into our earthly misery. It's the power of God working mightily for the salvation of His people, drawing them unto Himself out of the bondage of sin and death into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Zion is redeemed through judgment and delivered out of this present world, translated into the glorious perfection of the new creation. And so the Scriptures make known to us these special acts of power as a part of the wonder of our salvation. The thing that is come to pass, the thing that was spoken, which the Lord hath made known to us. There was no doubt in the minds of the shepherds, but that the Lord God had spoken to them through His heavenly messenger, confirmed by the angelic host, which gave honor to the babe and proclaimed the joy in heaven among the angels and the saints, that the Savior is born. There was no doubt in their minds, but that the long-awaited, promised Messiah had come into the world, yea, that very night, God's anointed, the Messiah, our great prophet, our eternal high priest, our glorious King, has come as a mere babe, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, the incongruity of it all did not trouble them, for the Lord had spoken. The importance of this great event overshadowed all other considerations. God's only begotten Son, who rests eternally in the bosom of the Father, has come into the flesh to dwell among us. God's Son, the Virgin's child, enters into our world of sin and misery in deepest humility to suffer and to die. Yea, to arise as victor over death and the grave in order to lead many sons into glory. It's all too wonderful. The living God, who is the resurrection and the life, is born out of the old root of David, the dead stump of the house of Jesse. The Holy One makes His entrance into our world, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And they hurry. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They must get to Bethlehem and see. What a revelation. Beloved, do you see? You have eyes to see this wonderful revelation, to experience the blessedness of it. But what is there to see? Where is the glory? Where is the power? Where is the splendor? The natural eye cannot see anything glorious here. It could not at that time, and it cannot today. A humble maiden gives birth in a stable. So what? All that the world of unbelief can see there is helplessness and poverty. Many try to spice it up a little bit, attempt to dress up these events, adding to it all kinds of lore and fable. Many try to make that stable cute and clean and cozy. Be not deceived. The eye of faith sees. The shepherds see the glory of God, yes, even there in the smelly stable. All of us who by grace believe the amazing testimony of the Scriptures concerning this birth, see, we behold the wonder. The woman who gave birth, this young woman, is a virgin. The child was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin, born not by the will of man, but by the will of God. The birth of Jesus was a virgin birth, a marvelous miracle of the grace of God. Comprehend it? No. Do we see? Oh, yes. This child is the Holy Child Jesus. The eternal, only begotten Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. This child is Emmanuel, God with us. By way of the conception and birth of Jesus, the sovereign God came down from heaven to earth as a man among men. The Word became flesh. God, without ceasing to be God, became one of us, a man. He who lay there in the hay-filled manger was very God. Do you see this? The mystery of the incarnation? This babe is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you see this? A Savior is one who fully delivers his own from all their misery, brings them into highest glory. Out of the misery of our sin and corruption and guilt and death, the Savior delivers all whom the Father has given him. The Savior gives unto his people all the riches of salvation. As the Christ, the anointed of Jehovah, he is ordained and qualified to save us. As the Lord, he bought us with the infinite price of his own precious blood, and now rules over us by his word and spirit. Do you see this in Bethlehem? You see this in all the circumstances surrounding his birth there. Do you see that through the filth and the poverty radiate the glory and power and goodness of the God of our salvation? He must be born there in lowly Bethlehem. He must be laid in a manger. He must be wrapped with swaddling clothes. He must enter into this poverty. He must make himself poor, oh so poor, for our sakes. Only in this way of his deepest humiliation can we see him as Savior. Symbolized in all these details is the spiritual poverty and misery which characterize us by nature. Yes, he became poor in order that we, being poor, might become rich. Behold the babe. Do you see? See the glory and wonder of salvation there in Bethlehem? We can see more. Oh, so much more than could those shepherds. We are given to see in the infallibly inspired scriptures his life, his suffering, his cross, the wonder of his resurrection, his ascension and exaltation, even at the right hand of the majesty on high. We behold the outpouring of his Spirit. Oh yes, the shepherds saw. They were witnesses of the great salvation the Lord had wrought for his people. And as witnesses, they could not but speak of the things they had seen and heard. They could not keep this to themselves. For the word of God that they had seen and heard was now in them through the work of his Spirit. It had filled their hearts, their minds, their entire beings. It had become a great power in them, which they could not have possibly resisted. They had heard the good tidings of great joy, which would be to all the people of God. They had seen the signs there in the stable. Now they must speak of these things. They had seen the word that had come to pass, and now they must witness of it. What about us? How many opportunities do we have to speak to others concerning this child? Faith will not keep still. Faith will not keep this glorious revelation for itself. Faith is very unselfish. It loves to give. But in addition, the shepherds returned. Yes, they must go back to their everyday labors and activities. They could not abandon their daily calling. They must return to watch over their flocks. But they do so having a new joy in their hearts, a new song upon their lips. We read that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The song of the angelic choir still resounded in their hearts as they returned, and now it had become their own. They had made haste to see the word that had come to pass, which the Lord had revealed to them. Little enough they had seen a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What they saw might seem to be the very contradiction of the glorious gospel of joy and salvation and glory that had been proclaimed unto them by the angel. But they had been given to believe the saying concerning this child. And so they returned, yes, rejoicing. By faith, they carried the joy of hope in their hearts. That great joy caused their hearts to sing and their lips to speak and praise and glorify the Lord, their God. And so, beloved, let us also arise, go to Bethlehem. We go with the Scriptures in our hands, to behold Him who is the fulfillment of God's promise of our salvation. Let us bow down and worship Him, our God who came into our flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, in our thoughts, we watch Him grow up as the man of sorrows, the suffering servant of Jehovah, who all his life long was burdened with the weight of God's righteous wrath against our sins. We pause for a moment there at the foot of the cross, where His blood was shed, where God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, nevermore counting our sins against us. Yes, let us confess that He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And now, He is our risen, exalted Lord. With the eye of faith, we see this Jesus crowned with glory and honor, exalted Lord over all, soon coming to judge the nations in righteousness. Even then, He will be our Jesus, our judge, to judge our miserable lives on the basis of His perfect atoning work on the cross, to declare us righteous in Him, free from sin and guilt, worthy of everlasting life in covenant fellowship with our God. Behold, and hear Him say, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. See, believe, Like the shepherds, let us return home presently, rejoicing and praising our God all the day, yea, all our earthly days, and even forevermore. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, what wondrous things Thou hast given us to hear and behold. The wonder of the birth of our Savior. The glad tidings of the gospel of Christ. All praise and thanksgiving be unto Thee. May that gospel abide in our hearts and comfort us in this veil of tears. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. We ask it with the remission of our sins.